Scoff and Quaff show with Jules Serkin on Channel Radio.
And good morning and a warm welcome in sunny Dymchurch. Well, John and I have had a very odd morning this morning. A little bit scrappy. Bit of a mood in the air, I'd say, with these men in the studio this morning, listener. But we've got a cracking show. We've got the fabulous Jane Apps, the Fat Carrot, who is, as you know, regular listeners, the Veggie Queen, and she comes in bearing lots of gifts. There's cakes, there's flapjacks, and there's carroty things, and there's also Welsh. Little brown things. What are they? Welsh Scotch eggs.
They're Welsh eggs.
They're Welsh eggs. I've never heard of a Welsh egg, and I'm looking forward to tucking into one. So,
well, that
Jane,
means I won't get any then.
Well, we may share. I've got a knife. You can have a quarter or an eighth. And then we also have Stephanie Heyman, who's come in with Fansale. Who hails from South Africa, but he hasn't come all the way from South Africa. Listen, he's come from Deal. And they have this fabulous new launch of the Checkers Deal. Now, I frolicked there quite a long time ago with my friend Heidi Ward when I was the PR for St. Christopher's, which is a lovely little school in Canterbury, in the old Dover Road, or the new Dover Road, the one with the cinema. And so it's Peter Vansale with fabulous Stephanie Heyman. And hopefully they won't remember the time that I frolicked at their restaurant years ago. I'm sure I was quite well behaved. But Heidi was on the piano. She's a piano teacher, and she was tinkling. And Peter was in the kitchen. And but now Stephanie Heyman, who, as you know or may not know, is known as the food queen for children. She's a food hero for children's food. And she has started up a cookery school, and they're going to be telling us all about it. So alongside the restaurant, you can actually go and cook. And I hear that grandparents are cooking with children, which I thought was absolutely lovely, lovely idea. And so they'll be telling us all about their new venture in Deal. That's Peter and Stephanie. And then also on the phone, we've got Andy Bridle. Now, Andy is an attorney. He's based in Canterbury. And he is currently, well, he's had loads and loads of experience. He's been an attorney for 19 years on patent and trademarks. And he started off his career with Pfizer and then set up Bridle about 7 years ago, Bridle IP. He's on the Twitter, at Bridle IP. He has not tweeted yet because I haven't given him my lecture. But once he's had the lecture, I assure you he will tweet.
and so I know that for a fact because I've been on the end of her lectures.
Somehow you're missing 18,000... free marketing tools, at least. So Andy Bridle, but he's worth following, ready for when he does do his first tweet. So he's going to come on the blower about 10 past 11, and I have a feeling that anything could happen in this show today. I have a because I did a photo shoot yesterday. First of all, on Sunday, it was my father-in-law's birthday. He was 75. Happy birthday, Stanley. And we went to, my husband's Jewish, so we went to a lovely Israeli restaurant in Edgware called Aviv, I think. I can't quite remember. I've got the card somewhere in a handbag.
Clearly, you obviously had quite a bit of kava that day.
A little bit of kava was washed down to celebrate. Be curmudgeonly not to, John.
Yes, of course it would do, Jules. I mean, that goes for saying without you, doesn't it?
Very nice Middle Eastern, she said, moving swiftly on. Great food, and then cake, of course. And then yesterday I was doing a photo shoot for the brilliant Moroccan restaurant, which is the Alimo. Now, if you're in Whitstable and you fancy going to see the boys, they open at 11 a.m. for coffee and cakes and nibbles, and you can just stay there all day, really, until late. Alimo Restaurant. They're on the Twitter, at Alimo Restaurant. So we did a photo shoot for the Google, the street scene, which will help their Google search, their SEO. And we also, of course, stayed in the evening to gobble up all the food that we'd photographed. I was with the fabulous Jonathan Ryan, who's a Canterbury photographer, very good on food. So the images will be coming out soon. Dr. John,
yes.
May I awaken you from your slumber?
Yes, you may indeed. I'm not asleep, unlike some people in there who was asleep in the car coming down. But,
Jane will poke you if you nod off.
Yes, what can I do for you, Jules?
I'd like to know who's on the Twitter.
Well, we've had quite a few people already. We've had a couple of new people. We've had Matthew Timms, who's a music coach. Welcome, Matthew, at Matthew Timms. And we've also had X Delights, which is a catering organisation. It's called Exquisite Delights.
Mm.
So its Twitter handle is at XDelights.
Are they new?
They are new indeed, yes.
Hello to you.
And we've also had our friend AK Pet Services tweeting in saying that we are the best food show in Kent, which of course we agree with. We're the only food show in Kent.
We are the Kent food show and the UK food
Kent
show.
That's right, indeed.
You know that Adrian Kearney of AK Pet Services, so if you have a cat, for example, that's ill, he'll take it to the doctors for you, or the vet,
mm-hmm.
or a snake, or a
rat.
Well,
perhaps Ben of last week will get him to take his worms and things.
Yeah, maybe.
And insects and things like that.
Who else have you had?
We've had at the ex-chocolate angel, who will be coming on in a couple of weeks' time, the chocolate, delightful chocolate maker, and makes lovely lollipops with scoff on them, which we're going to be getting, I believe.
Nice, yeah.
Yeah.
We've also had a new listener, Matthew John Timms. And
just told him about that.
Oh, have you?
Oh. Clearly, clearly, listeners, Jules was not listening.
No, I was thinking more of cake.
of course.
Well, he's on my personal one as well, so he's followed us everywhere. Elm Court Farmers Market.
Another stalker, is it?
Elm Court Farmers Market, talking about sausage rolls. Have you got that one?
Yes, I have indeed.
Tell me about that.
Well, they've got sausage rolls, and they've also got lots of other things going on this week, because, of course, it's Elm Court Farmers Market this week. It's the first Sunday of every month, as Jane knows only too well. And they've got a real bread month all this month, so we've got a bread theme coming up in a couple of weeks' time.
Well, because Peter and Stephanie will probably agree with us. It's the Real Bread campaign in May.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm sure they'll be rustling up some bread, and we can perhaps go along and nibble some.
They are launching a raffle this coming Sunday.
I love a raffle.
There's no answer to that.
Only
really,
if I win, though. I never win.
And their charity this week is the Medway Guide Dogs. So, and that's Elm Court Farmers Market in Gillingham, and I forget the exact road, but I'm sure Jane will be able to tell me. Oh, no, she can't. She's shaking her head.
They'll tell us. They'll tweet. Have you seen Liverpool Distillery?
No, I haven't. I'm busy talking, you see, because you asked me to comment on the tweet.
Well,
so
this
I haven't
is on the
seen.
Tweet, yes. Liverpool say that they've been distilling botanicals and grain spirits since the year 1207. How do you say that? 12,007?
Well, yes.
Gosh. Is that BC?
I'm sure they will tweet it and tell you exactly.
They really don't look that old. But their website is liverpoolgin.com mm-hmm. and they make an organic gin, Dr. John, which might not make you quite so snappy. Because gin can make you
not at all snappy. I mean, it's you that's been getting on at Paul and myself, just because we were telling you things you didn't want to hear.
I think Paul can get a bit maudlin on gin. Don't you?
I don't know. You know him better than I do.
Well, most mornings he's maudlin, let's face it. So they've been making it. I'd love to hear more. They've been making it for centuries, so I want to hear how old they actually are in person.
Well, they probably said in the tweet, didn't they?
Well, the year 1207, whatever that is.
Yeah.
Britain's Restaurant.
Oh, okay.
Hello to you. Where are they? They're based in Guildford. We've got a Guildford listener. Well, that's nice. Good job. We got UK food show.
Yeah, but yes.
Well, we'll be hearing more from Dr. John. He seems to have dried up.
Well, I've got to actually get the phone guest on in a second.
We'll be hearing more from Dr. John with your tweets later on. We're going to play a little bit of Hot Love by T-Rex. And then, meanwhile, we'll get Anthony on the phone. So that's Anthony Bridle of Bridle IP. And we'll be hearing about how... Now, this is really good for you, listener, because if a lot of you we know that we have on the show are just starting your fledgling businesses. We have a lot of startups. So if you're just starting your jam making or any business, you can ask him or tweet or listen to his advice on patent and trademark. He's in the middle of doing it for Produced in Kent. He's doing a certification mark for Produced in Kent. So I'm sure he'll give us lots of advice. So meanwhile, here's a little bit of Hot Love.
Bye.
And that was Hot Love with T-Rex, and we're now going to be speaking to the brilliant Andy Bridle, who I've had a little conversation with. First of all, let's tell you about him. Bridle Intellectual Property Limited. They're based in the Lakesview International Business Park in Canterbury, and they have four attorneys there and two support staff, and they have a number of clients in the food and drinks industry. And Andy Bridle has told me that they've secured patents or in the process of securing patents for food preparation processes and also food packaging and storage products. So if Kent Fine Foods is listening, you need to be taking notes, Matthew Kearsey Lawson. And they're presently in the process of securing a certification mark for the produced in Kent. So I'm going to be hearing all about this. It's quite certification marks, says Andy, are quite rare and not easy to obtain. So, Andy, good morning.
Good morning, Jules.
You are there. That's a relief. I always think I've switched somebody off, you see. I know you've had a really busy morning, so it's really good of you to come to the phone. Can you tell me a little bit about, first of all, how you were at Pfizer? So how did you actually get into this this path of branding and patenting and trademarking?
It goes back to my university days, I guess. I was studying for my master's degree in chemistry, and we had a lecture from a guest lecturer who was a patent and trademark attorney.
Right.
And he sounded very interesting, and what he was doing sounded very interesting. And I looked into the area because I hadn't really heard of it prior to then. And the more I read, the more I liked, and the more I thought it would be for me. And the rest is probably history. I entered the profession back in 94, and have been loving what I do ever since.
Well done. And so you were at Pfizer for a while. And then you were brave enough to go out into the world on your own, start up your own business.
Yes. I was at Pfizer until 2007 and decided at that point to take the plunge and set up on my own. And I have to say I've not looked back since then.
And you've set up your own patent and trademark, I hope.
Yes.
Good, that's a relief. Tell us what you're doing with Produced in Kent, because that's very exciting, because they're avid supporters of us on the show, and obviously we go to the Taste of Kent Awards and eat lots there. So you're in the middle of it. So how difficult is it, what you're doing for them?
We was approached by Produced in Kent on a couple of matters. They wanted to protect their brand for the Taste of Kent Awards. So we applied for trademark protection for Taste of Kent Awards, which was registered a few months ago now. And they also wanted to obtain a certification mark for produced in Kent. Now, the certification marks are marks that member organisations are able to use to show that their goods and or services comply with all of the requirements set down for use of the certification mark. So in terms of produced in Kent, there are a number of rules and regulations relating to products that can bear the mark, but any product that bears the Produced in Kent mark has associated with it certain characteristics that have been checked and approved by the Produced in Kent organisation.
Right, okay, and it is certainly a brand worth protecting because they're very well established. I think, is it 14 years or something they've been doing the awards, or 10, I can't remember, but they're pretty well established now and they've become a brand, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, the Taste in Kent Awards is a brand that has certain reputation associated with it, and they also wanted to protect their accreditation process as well.
Yes.
So the Producing Kent certification mark, we've had to jump through quite a few hurdles to get the criteria for awarding the mark approved by the UK Trademarks Registry.
Right.
And that's why they're quite tricky to get.
Mm.
The rules and regulations have to meet certain government set criteria, and so I've been working with Producing Kent to refine and produce a set of criteria which governs the use of the certification mark, and what it means is any consumers who are purchasing goods or services that bear the Producing Kent mark can be assured of certain quality guarantees and guarantees of origin and such like.
I'm nodding here furiously, so I'm agreeing with you. You can't see me, Andy, but I'm nodding and agreeing. So branding, for example, I was just thinking what happens, for example, if there's a food brand in New Zealand with the same name as in the UK, what could be done about that sort of thing?
It would all depend on what's happening commercially. I mean, if there is a company in New Zealand who are servicing the New Zealand market and have no real plans or ambitions to extend beyond New Zealand, and we have a UK company who are servicing the UK market and possibly also Europe, then there's no reason why the two organisations can't coexist quite happily, because consumers are not going to be confused as to the origin of the goods they're buying. The difficulties arise when the organisations start to try to compete in the same marketplace.
Right.
And we tend to get involved only when there is confusion on the part of the public or a likelihood of confusion on the part of the public.
Mm.
All the time that they are peacefully coexisting.
Mm.
And in fact, we've got a case with a client of ours right now where they're using a particular mark. My client is using a particular mark in Europe, Canada and the US. And there is another company who produces a very similar product, uses exactly the same mark in Australia and New Zealand. And so far the companies have managed to coexist perfectly happily, and the customers are not likely to be confused.
Because it's quite emotive, isn't it? If you've put your heart and soul into a starter business, it becomes your baby. And you put a lot of work in, and then if somebody comes up and sort of almost hoodwinks people into thinking that they're the same thing, and people do copy, don't they? Because they see something happening and they think, well, I can do that, and they almost copy things like logos, colours. So how could we guard? Would you suggest, for example, for a new company, Andy, that's starting up, that they come and see you right at the beginning?
Yeah, but it's always important to check out a potential brand name before you get too attached to it or too invested in it.
And how would you do that?
We can do trademark searching and internet searching to ensure that the mark is available.
Yeah.
For the goods and services that the client wants to use it.
Mm-hmm.
So we can check with the various trademark registries that nobody else has registered the same or similar mark. We can check domain name registrations. If we believe that the mark is free and available, then we can advise the client on how best to protect that mark and to achieve a unique branding position with it.
Brilliant.
And we can hold their hands throughout the process, right from the initial investigations through to registration, renewal, and hopefully it doesn't come to it, but in some cases enforcement as well.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best thing, is to come in right at the beginning rather than have the heartache later on. Now, one of our listeners and someone that comes on the show to tell us about beer events, a bit of a Morris dancer, it's at Hoodner's Horse. You know, we talk Andy on the show in Twitter speak, you'll forgive us. But this Andy, it's Andy Setterfield of the Hoodner's Horse in Ashford, is asking, what's the most unexpected intellectual property that you've come across? And he says, where the company person didn't understand value of what they had, and how did you go about understanding value? There's a mouthful.
Well, the classic example that springs to mind goes back to my time at Pfizer. And it involves a drug for which I'm sure many people will be familiar, and that's the drug Viagra.
Oh, yes, Paul Andrews knows all about that. Yeah, carry on.
Pfizer initially were developing Viagra, or the active agent in Viagra, as a blood pressure medicament. So they were looking at it to reduce blood pressure. And they did some clinical trials, and it failed dismally in the clinical trials for what they were looking at. But a number of the male participants in the trial didn't want to hand back their remaining stock of tablets.
Right.
And when Pfizer investigated this a little bit more thoroughly to find out why the patients were so keen to hang on to their remaining tablets, it transpired it had a secondary effect that Pfizer hadn't anticipated. So on the one hand, it was a complete failure for its intended purpose.
Yeah.
But it turned out it had a secondary purpose for which it was extremely successful.
Very good for perking up men.
Very good for perking up men indeed, yes. And so Pfizer then scratched their head and decided, you know, how best do we capitalise on this unexpected finding, and it spawned an entire new therapeutic area for Pfizer to investigate, and the rest of the story is pretty much history. But it started out as a complete failure, and the clinical trials were about to be scrapped, and Pfizer were about to let the whole thing drop, until one of the researchers
owned up.
Well, they did a bit of digging. That they were a bit surprised, because ordinarily participants in clinical trials are quite happy to hand back any unused tablets.
Yeah.
But in this
they
case,
were hogging them.
Yeah, there were quite a few male participants who were extremely reluctant to let go of their tablets because of the unexpected side effect. But I mean, that went on to become a $1.5 billion a year product for Pfizer.
Excellent. Well, Andy, it's been exciting to have you on the show, and for you to have wheedled in Viagra onto the food show, I'm very impressed. A man after my own heart.
And Paul's, of course.
If you want to contact Andy Bridle at Intellectual Property Limited, they're in Canterbury. Their website is www.bridleip.com. And also the phone number. Do you want me to read out the phone number, Andy?
Yeah, by all means. Yeah.
Am I allowed?
Yeah.
It's 01227, the Canterbury code, and 712022. And go and ring them or contact them and have a chat with Andy and see how he can help. And for now, Andy, thank you very much for coming on the blower and speaking to the Scoff listeners.
No problem at all.
Thank you very much. Bye, Andy.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That was Andy Bridle. Very interesting there. We're going to play a little ad, and then we're going to have some George Michael. And then afterwards we're going to be speaking to Peter and Stephanie about what they're up to at the Chequers in Deal.
Jobsinkent.com.
Need temporary employment? Call Temp Network on 01892 531 777.
Let's work it to the bone, bone, bone. Come on, work.
A little bit of George Michael.
As around the sun, the earth knows she's revolving, and the rosebuds know to bloom in early May.
And that's George Michael and the fabulous Mary J. Blige. We have now in the studio, with lots of goodies that the fat cat has bustled in with, and we're trying not to eat them so we can actually talk, but we've got Stephanie Heyman, who's I'm calling the food hero, and we also have Peter van Sale, and they're both from the Checkers in Deal, which is a beautiful restaurant that I've been to before. But they've had a relaunch of Checkers Kitchen, and they held their first cookery class last week, I believe.
Yeah.
And it was a fantastic pizza making session for children and adults. So it sounds like great fun, and we're going to hear all about it. So, Peter, when did you establish Checkers?
It's about 10 years ago when I actually bought the building.
Right.
So I've been there for 10 years. And in that time, it's sort of in the earlier years, Stephanie used to be a customer.
Okay.
And she used to come and eat a lot with Harry. And then Stephanie went on to other businesses, which, you know, things she did. And then our paths crossed again where we, I think you did some advertising for me.
Yeah.
And 2 years ago, Stephanie came to a breakfast meeting. I used to host breakfast meetings, and afterwards Steph came and she said to me...
Were they business breakfast meetings?
It was business breakfast meetings.
Well, which one was that? Did it have a name? Or
it was 4N.
4N.
Okay, yeah, yes. good networking group.
And Steph and I went in my office and she said to me, she would like to teach people to cook, or she would like people to eat better from the word scratch, really. She would like people to teach them to eat and cook, and the whole idea really is when you cook, you know what's in the food, rather than buying food that's been heavily processed.
So much salt, fat, sugar, especially the sugar and the salt, I find.
Yeah, you know, those are the three things that we crave naturally.
Mm.
We never wake up in the morning, or I speak for myself, I never wake up in the morning craving carrots and lettuce and tomatoes. I always succumb with a bowl of porridge and, you know, brown sugar and cinnamon.
Yeah. Well, do you have a South African sort of influence in your catering there?
Yes.
In the restaurant?
Yes, you know, it's my South African cooking is as strong as my accent.
And you've been here 10 years?
No, I've been in England almost 24 years.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, it's all I've got left from South Africa is my accent. So.
I do a very good South African accent. I can only do, I used to work for Hilda Marie Smith.
I know
Hilda
Marie.
So I can do a very good impression of her. Yeah, wonderful. But I can't do you yet.
It's about the only accent you can do.
I get into terrible trouble when she listens. And Stephanie, so have you got young children yourself?
Well, he's not young anymore. I've got a teenager.
Right.
But it was when he was young, when he was 4 or 5 and starting school, that I started to get really interested in what we're feeding children and what we're feeding ourselves. And that led to whole school meals, which then led me on to Beta. Because what then happened 2 years ago, whole school meals had a grant from the big lottery to, we decided we wanted, it was for healthy eating. And whereas we'd previously been teaching children to cook, we thought we really need to teach their parents. It's all very well children learning how to cook, but if they can't go home and then
and
do more.
The same.
Yeah, mm. Yeah. So we got this grant from the big lottery, and I thought, okay, where can we teach this and who can teach it? And Peter was the obvious candidate. I had a sort of sneaky feeling that he would be a good teacher, and so it turned out. And so for the last, for 2 years, we've been teaching local, young parents, all sorts of folks to cook. But we did it, Peter did taught them with temporary facilities on restaurant tables and little gas burners, which was great. But we realised that we really wanted to do this properly.
Mm.
And hence, we closed at Christmas and we raised the finances and we got ourselves a plan, and we've now got the most glorious transformed Chequers kitchen, which has the restaurant and now a properly fully equipped cookery school.
How many can you accommodate? Sorry, the producer thought I wanted him. I waved politely. He's so unused to me waving sweetly at him that he came in he thought that something had gone wrong. So how many can you accommodate?
Well, the pizza making class that you mentioned previously, we had 16 people cooking. They were in pairs, so we had a child and an adult.
I think that's lovely to do that together.
It was fantastic. They absolutely loved it.
I wonder whether there's a certain amount, because I've got 3 children, and they were over a long expanse, if you know what I mean, the whole thing, because I had a little gap in between. So my last one is 18 now. And I feel that with the first two, I did a lot more cooking because I was at home more.
Yeah.
And then by the time the last one, I was bored with being at home, so I set up my own business. And actually, it's strange because this last one is the real foodie. He's a real foodie. And I wonder how much, you know, now parents are all working, women typically are not staying at home as much, how much guilt there is about the fact that we're not getting the time. And so maybe this is where you guys step in, where there's none of the washing up. Maybe there is a bit of clearing up. Do they clear up at the end and mop all the surfaces and stuff?
No, they don't have to mop, but you know, they'll wash up as they go.
Yeah, clear the surfaces as they go, which is the way you should do it. If my husband's listening, can you please remember that? He's one of those brilliant cooks, but he starts in one corner of the kitchen and he works his way around the whole 360 degrees.
Well, maybe he's clever.
Yes, he is very clever. So do you think there's a bit of guilt going on, and this is a way that perhaps parents can have, not be at home, but be in a different environment and have the pressure taken off them?
I'm not sure if there's guilt, but I think people are all aware that they should cook, and they should cook from scratch, because we all know if you buy fresh produce, and it's not been tampered with in any shape or form, then you get the real thing to eat at the end of the process.
I was in a little shop the other day, and there was someone asking for packet mix of Yorkshire puddings.
Really?
And I just thought, why would you? It's flour, you know, it's nothing, is it?
But that's the thing, you see, if you don't know, if you've never learned how to cook, you actually don't have the choice.
So you think that is how you make a Yorkshire pudding?
Yeah.
Out of a packet?
You don't know what you don't know, and what we've discovered is that there are lots of people who are completely clueless about cooking through no fault of their own. You know, culturally, the food culture in this country is only just the tide is starting to turn, but it's been completely dominated by manufactured processed products. It's an industry and hasn't got a lot to do with food. So many, many people have never learned, and not only have they lost the capacity to feed themselves in a healthy way, they've lost all the social interaction and that comes with the joy and pleasure of creating a meal, you know, whether it's for yourself and your immediate family or for a bigger group. And that is something that we're also passionate about at Checkers Kitchen, is giving people back this opportunity to create together and to share and to develop community through food.
Lots of people that I've been teaching, they've never bought fresh meat.
My goodness, really?
It's frightening, isn't it? It really is frightening.
You know, they've only had lasagna from a ghastly store that makes it in large quantities and pay £1 for it. So when I ask why, they would say, because I don't know how to make a tomato sauce, or I don't know how to make a bolognese, or I don't know how to use pasta, or I don't know how to make the white sauce, is the thing that scares them all. Mm. It's the easiest thing in the world to make. You put it all in a pot together, low heat, stir it, and that's it.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, it's...
It's frightening. It really is frightening.
They haven't got a clue. And like Steph has just said, if you don't know, you don't know.
Mm.
And I know. So I'm telling them. And I'm showing them, and it works.
So what kind of courses have you got coming up? I know you've done the pizza making. What kind of... I know you've got... you have a rotisserie free-range chicken you've got going there as well.
Yeah,
well, that's not a course. That's just in our restaurant.
So that's one chicken going round.
No. Luckily, it can take more than one chicken at a time.
Oh, wow. I've not seen this.
It looks really good when it's going, and it smells amazing. So the first thing you see is this a beautiful, beautiful cooking island we have. Then in the back where the fireplace used to be, we've now got this great chicken rotisserie there. So you smell it and you see it, and it's visual.
That crispy skin.
Crispy skin, you know, and it's self-basting. And our chickens is amazing quality, and they self-baste. Mm-hmm. So salt and pepper on them, and that's the end of it.
Yeah. Close your ears, fat carrot.
Yeah, fat carrot, I'm sorry.
I know. Yeah. You could pop a little carrot on there, or an onion maybe, rotisserie.
Indeed she can.
Do you know, we had Michelle Roux on the show the other week, and did I mention that? Michelle Roux, Judy, on the show. He's just such a nice guy, but I asked him what one of his favourite meals was, and he actually said, a home-cooked roast chicken, you know, a good chicken, a happy chicken.
You know, and it's Joan Collins' favourite meal as well.
Really?
Roast chicken.
Really?
Simple is best, you know.
Exactly.
If you do it right, it's the only way really to go.
So what have you got coming up? Courses?
Well, we've got all sorts coming up. The first thing we've got on Saturday morning, we've got a skills course, a knife skills course.
Oh, good.
Which is just a 1 hour, 10 o'clock till 11 o'clock, and folk are coming along, and they're actually going to bring their fruit with them. Peter's going to show them how to wield some very sharp knives very efficiently and effectively, and they'll go home with a fruit salad. So that's like a short, sharp workshop on Saturday morning. We've got a cookery demonstration coming up next week, when lots more folk can come along, and Peter will be demonstrating 5-6 recipes using asparagus, local asparagus.
Ooh, yes.
And then, go on, Peter.
I usually choose one product, a seasonal product, and then I would do between 5 or 10 different dishes, and I just demonstrate it. And then once it's been cooked, I just dish it out for the people to eat up around the cooking island. So it's great fun, really. So you get to learn how to cook these different things, and then obviously eat it straight away.
Sounds delicious. I've had a tweet here from the BeFast Friends. They're in Kent, Sevenoaks, and they're asking Peter and Stephanie, will the Chequers deal be going on tour with their cooking schools?
Yes.
Little rucksack on your back.
Absolutely.
So how are you going to do that?
I can't wait to get my bus. I want a bus. I usually am very spoiled, so I'm hope listening. Steph is listening.
I think this is amazing.
Yeah. Our cooking equipment now is portable, so gone are the camping gas stoves, but we have induction hobs, which are all portable induction hobs, which means that our cooking island is gloriously free of clutter and lovely surface, but it also means that we can take those out and about with us. So it's definitely in the plan to take our cookery classes.
I need an induction hob lesson because I got rid of my gas, had a new kitchen, and I am not happy with my induction hob.
Yeah, why is that then?
We have no time to tell you, but it's things like custard and sauce. It's burning on the, yeah. So I'm gonna come in and have a lesson.
You'll have to come and I'll teach you all about it.
Exactly. Now, to look on their website, it's www.checkersrestaurant.com and you can also book a class on 01304 362 288. Correct.
That's right.
You can follow them, and you must follow them, at the Chequers Deal, DEAL, and Go onto the Facebook page, see what they're doing there. And I think the idea of cooking with grandkids, it really got to me, you know, grandparents and grandchildren. Mm. Lovely idea. Thank you very much for coming on. And
you're very welcome.
We will be along with our microphone, perhaps, for an induction hob lesson. I can play a little bit of Steve Harley, and then we're going to speak to Fat Carrot, who's going to tell us about her events and little pop-ups.
Mr. Soft, turn around and fast world to watch the things you're going through. Oh, Mr. Soft, believe everything they tell you and be damned if they'll thank you. You paint everything so cruel. Come and own that, Mr. Paint your face and shut the gate. No one's coming home till today. Ooh la, cha. Don't you know life gets tedious enough without this extra crutch to bear? You're so slow. Shift your ideas, make your mind up in a jiffy. Let's be fair. We'll all be taken off tonight. Turn off your eyes and shut the light. Oh, yeah, the most is so unreal. We'd all be dead without your spiel. Ooh la,
and that was a lovely Mr. Soft with Stevie Harley, who's been into the Channel Radio studios on many an occasion. And just to say that coming up at 1 o'clock, we've got the Business Bunker with the fabulous Paul Andrews at Vanilla Web, and you can follow him on at Business Bunker. And I will be muscling in on the show and hopefully eating some of Fat Carrot's goodies. So we've got Jane Apps in the studio now. She's going to tell us all about what's cooking in the Kent area. Jane, hi.
Hi, nice to be here.
Lovely to see you again after the farmer's market. But, and you had a lovely lunch with your mum.
I did, yes. We were, that was at Shibren, wasn't it?
Yeah.
When you were talking to Michelle Roux.
Yes. Did I tell you I spoke to Michelle Roux?
Yeah, I was there. I did notice
charming.
Yeah, there's a lovely photo of me and one of the... Yeah. farmers market managers has titled it Jane trying to convince the French chef to be vegetarian.
Well, there was one of you, I'm interviewing Michelle, yeah, and you're in the background just clearing up or something. It's quite funny. Yeah. It's just your rear end disappearing. Oh, a very nice posterior. Tell us what's cooking.
Oh, what's cooking? We've got quite a lot going on this week. We should be at several farmers markets. We're going to be at Shibbon again on Thursday, which is every Thursday at Shibbon next to the Chaser Inn, and that one's 9 till 11. And then we're going to be at Penshurst Farmers Market on Saturday and Westrum on Sunday. But you can also be at Elm Court Sunday. That's this Sunday as well, isn't it? The first Sunday of the month, Elm Court. But this month, or the month we're about to come into May, is our first supper club event of the year. It's going to be quite a big one. We're going to be doing a versatile vegetable buffet.
We like a big one on the show.
Indeed.
Don't we, John?
Well, you do, Julia.
Carry on.
Well, it's the idea is it's a buffet of all sorts of different vegetable dishes, all vegetarian and vegan. They're going to be very interesting things, different things that you might not have had before. It'll be a kind of help yourself affair. Everyone will be seated banquet style.
So we like help yourself as well.
Well, exactly. So you can have as much of it as you like and test and try all the different things. We've got four or five different desserts on the menu for that night as well. So lots of puddings going on as well. And because everyone can sit next to each other, it's all banquet style. They can have a good chat, meet other people. It's going to be a very sociable night. And it's at the location of Spadework at Offham, which is near Westmorling and Kings Hill, but very close to Maidstone, Tunbridge. If you're in any of those kind of areas, it's really not far. And then the location it's at, Spadework, is a charity. They're a charity, great charity, Kent charity for adults with learning difficulties. And 20% of the ticket price on the night is going to go back to that charity. So tickets are £28. You can contact me directly via my telephone number, or you can email me and I can sort you out some tickets, or you can buy them online via our website. The website is www.thefatcarrot.co.uk.
You said it all in one. Sorry, I was just tweeting. I'm actually tweeting about you, that you're on live, but you paused. Okay, so we've got at the farmers market, which is this Sunday, it's Elm Court.
This Sunday we'll be at Elm Court, and we'll also be at Westrum this Sunday, because Westrum are having a big do on the green. They're usually on the high street at Westrum.
Is it called do on the green?
I don't think so. I'm sure it's probably got something.
They usually make something up, don't they?
It's probably May Day celebrations or something, I'm guessing.
It's Real Bread Month coming up, isn't it, in May?
That's right, yes. So a lot of the farmers markets will be celebrating the Real Bread Month. And that's very important, because obviously they do put a huge amount of additives and all sorts of things going on from what we were talking about in the studio earlier about real food or real bread. You know, they do put so much junk in things in order to preserve the shelf life.
Yeah, you can see that when you buy a loaf from a supermarket. But it lasts forever. It's revolting. It, you know, you can have it a month and it's still sitting there.
Yeah,
it's just
high quantities of sugar and all sorts of
things. You've got a lot of Taste of Kent winners at your market, Stevie Wood tells me. You've got Court Farm, the Kent Butcher of the Year. And you've got Mobile Fresh Fish and Farm Shop, the Best Fishmonger of the Year.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You've got Kent Fine Foods, Artisan Food Producer of the Year.
Yes.
He's marvellous.
We're doing something in association with Matthew from Kent Fine Foods. He's going to make us some carrot products.
Is he?
He is. We're going to have a carrot chutney and a carrot and orange marmalade.
Well, of course, he's now offering a bespoke making, so he will bottle it all up for you and label it and everything.
Doing that for us, because you know, obviously I do vegetarian and vegan food, and we do catering in all the farmers markets, but chutneys and marmalades are not in my my cooking spectrum. It's not something I've ever got involved in.
Welsh, what are they? Welsh
Scotch cakes, I'm calling them, but they're Welsh eggs. Take those to farmers markets, and you can order them if you want them for your party. But they're whole boiled eggs wrapped in a combination of fried leeks, wholemeal bread and herbs, and then they're breadcrumbed and fried. So they're the vegetarian equivalent to a Scotch egg.
Great
parties and picnics.
You've also at the farmers market, you've got, next month, I think, Sunday 4th of May, you've got Samova Foods, who's been on the show. Jenka Ajenka, and she was the winner in the bakery and confectionery class with her Kent product of the year, with the honey cake.
Yeah, I've tried her honey cake. It is really delicious. She's sometimes next to me or near me at Elm Court.
You can't just have one slice, can you?
No, it's all very Moorish.
And they've also got Duddas Tun Cider, who won the best cider, Kent cider or Perry.
I do like a bit of cider.
They're cracking markets. And while we're muscling on markets, very quickly, the Whitstable Market in Gorrell Tank, who I support, you know, I write a column in the Whitstable Times, and I've been rattling on about them. The council are taking away their place in Whitstable to dig down in the car park where it's held. So if anybody wants to help the Gorrell Tank Market on a Thursday morning, it needs to be in the same area, Whitstable. The livelihoods are at stake of all these guys. And so, we're trying to get them in the castle or somewhere. But it's going on the 1st of May, I think, next week.
Okay.
So no warning. That's brilliant. Give us a shout for your website.
It's www.thefatcarrot.co.uk, and on the Twitter we're @thefatcarrot11.
Thank you very much. I would say eat some of Jane's delights, because we will be scoffing them at the end of this show. And I think Stephanie and Peter are already tucking in because they're not talking anymore. Dr. John, a quick roundup for you, sweetie.
Yeah, well, we've had quite a lot of tweets since I last spoke. We've had the Marquis of Alcombe have been tweeting, and his
Hello.
Wife.
Charlie Lakin.
Yes, and Paula Lakin, who I believe is a friend of Stephanie's. We've also had...
You've got your fans on the show.
And we'll be welcoming Charlie along to do some cooking.
Oh, good. Well, here you are.
Cooking class. Yeah.
And as you mentioned, we've got Squarries who we're going to see later this week. They're interested in you guys coming along and having sort of one of your mobile cooking school things. So we must get in touch with them. We've also had... Kent Fine Foods and Elle's Cupcakery have also been tweeting and following us.
Well, Elle's Cupcakery are muscling in on the act and saying, do Squarries need any cakes? So I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
I'm getting.
Yes, so, and also Dine Time, who has been on the show and part of the farmers market. So that's Caroline Wilding doing Dine Time, have been tweeting as well.
We've had another follower, Veggie Gardening. Hello to you, you're new. Go on, carry on, I need to cough.
And Beth Mogador 4 has just tweeted in, as well as Fish and Chips to Go, who are regular followers of ours.
Fish and Chips for Biz. Yeah. And also Sauce by Marina. I'm very impressed, Marina. Ciao, Bella. Because I gave her one of my You Must Tweet lectures, and she's listening.
Well, there you are. You see, Twitter does work, listeners.
Thank you very much for your pasta sauce. I haven't tried it yet, but I will be trying it very soon. And when I do, I'll tweet it and give you a picture. And Sylvia and Terry Chocks, have you mentioned them?
Yes, no, I haven't actually. I was going to mention them. They've been tweeting in.
S and T
chocolates. They do some lovely bespoke chocolates.
They do. Now, may I ask the awful question that you dread each week?
You may indeed.
Oh, listener, he's got his I've done it face. The diary is coming out. Who is on the Scoff Show next week?
We have Namisha from at Namisha's Crisps on, and we also have Sam Patel, who's going to be talking about her Slim Sam's Cakery.
The Slim Hips.
Yes, indeed. Rather like the Fat Carrot.
Yes. So, well, Sammy does a range of slimming cakes with low fat.
So you'll be well aware on that one then, won't you?
I will, darling. Yes, I won't be wearing it on my hips. And I am gluten-free. I hope she knows that, because if she wants me to eat them all...
Well, I expect you'll eat them whether she wants you to or not.
I can eat at least six. You've been listening...
Only six?
You've been listening to the Scoff and Quaff show with, first of all, Andy Bridle of IP, Bridle IP, over there in Canterbury, telling you all about his trademark business and how he can help you. Give him a ring and get some advice before you start up and get upset if things go wrong. And then we have Stephanie and Peter from the Checkers Deal Restaurant and Cookery School, and give them a little ring and find out what they've got going on and sign up for their email. And then, of course, rounded off nicely by the Fat Carrot Jane Apps with her events. And we'll be speaking to you next week. Tune in for the Business Bunker at 1 p.m. For now, from us, goodbye.
Channel Radio. Channelradio.co.uk.
Well, get out in that kitchen and rattle those pots and pans.
Another great Jules Second Scoff and Quaff show on Channel Radio. No alpacas were consumed during this production.
I say shake, rattle and roll.
On Channel Radio.
Channelradio.co.uk.